Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we're in the book of Revelation, continuing our verse by verse study through this final book of the Bible. We come today to Revelation chapter 11. So get your Bible, open it up, and we'll begin in the beginning of Revelation chapter 11. While you're doing that, just a quick reminder that you can find the Word of God and study it verse by verse with me, all the way from Genesis through Revelation, three complete series going through the Bible verse by verse at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's the Scripture verse by verse website found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out if you can. Well, Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We covered verses 1 through 3 of chapter 11, but I want to begin to read in verse 1, so let's begin there. John writes, and there was given me a reed like a rod. The angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship in it. But the court, which is outside the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the nations, or the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I mentioned last time, these Gentiles were the enemies of God. They didn't care about God. They trampled on the holy temple site, and it was given to them by God to do that. And I mentioned last time that anything evil that happens in this world will not happen unless God grants permission. That's just the way it is. God is sovereign. You say, why does he allow it then if he's good? Because man has a free will. God did not create robots. He created human beings with the ability to choose right and wrong, sin and holiness, obedience, disobedience, and choose whether or not they want to accept his offer of mercy and forgiveness through his Son. God doesn't force anyone to be with him. He doesn't force anyone to be with him or to want to be with him. He leaves it totally up to them. And so he allows evil because he allows people to choose. Now, there will be a day of reckoning for bad choices, sinful choices. And yet these choices are allowed. And that's why there is a day of reckoning, because we have a free will. So with that, let's look at verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. I mentioned last time, sackcloth was not very comfortable. It was very uncomfortable clothing, as it were. And God has these two preachers who will boldly proclaim his word to a world that's not interested in truth for the most part. It never is. The vast majority of people are not interested in truth. They're interested in going with their feelings. They're interested in satisfying their appetites. Whether those appetites are contrary to the Word of God, it does not matter. And so you have a preacher that comes along and proclaims the written word of Almighty God straight, without compromise. you're not going to be very comfortable either. And that's the point. It's not always comfortable preaching the Word of God and preaching it accurately. More often than not, it isn't. If you're fortunate, there's a remnant that will stand by you and pray for you and support you. But even if there is not, you accept the discomfort. If you're a faithful preacher, a faithful Bible teacher, and you proclaim God's word clearly anyway. So these two faithful preachers in an unfaithful world, dressed in sackcloth. And that's not the only reason they're not comfortable, but they're not comfortable, believe me. Verse 4. And we'll see that. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. The Word of God is the light. And that's why these two fellows are called the lampstand. Lampstands for God. The Word of God is light. And Christians, especially preachers, are supposed to be lamps that convey the light of God into this world, which just loves darkness, because, as the Bible says, its deeds are evil. You say, well, then some people aren't going to like that light. Yeah, that's what I've already mentioned. But let me add, does that matter? I don't see anything anywhere in the Holy Bible that even suggests that that matters or should matter. We are still to be lights. We are still to proclaim the truth of God's word. We are still to live holy. Even though this world that loves darkness and is very comfortable in darkness, where they don't see their sin, because it's ignored or explained away or justified. God help us many times today in so-called churches. But it doesn't matter if the world likes it or not. God never says it matters. It doesn't matter. Live holy, proclaim the holy word of God, and let good people, godly people, be blessed. And let bad people be uncomfortable. That's fine. That's fine. That's the way it is. Verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So anyone who comes against a man of God who is faithfully preaching God's word will experience more trouble from God than they can handle. Anyone who tries to hurt a faithful preacher of God's word in any way will experience God's wrath. They may hurt that preacher, but God will hurt them more when everything is said and done. That's why preaching the pure word of God without watering it down and not counting the personal cost involved in doing that is the way it must be and the way it is if you're going to be faithful, if you're going to be good at it. Doesn't have anything to do with eloquence. Doesn't have anything to do with education. Higher education, so-called. Just faithfulness to proclaim the word of God. Verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. In other words, these preachers were equipped to do what God wanted them to do. Don't ever think that you can't do the good that you know that God wants you to do. When God commands, He also equips. When God says in His Word, do this, He gives you the ability to do it. When He says, don't do this, He gives you the ability to not do it. It may not be easy. There may be pain and discomfort involved, but He will enable you to do it through the pain and through the pressure and through the sacrifice. The only question is, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to count the cost? If you love Jesus, you will. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Notice, when will that happen? After they have finished their testimony. In other words, when they finish delivering the final sermon that God wants them to preach, then they will be killed. Do what you know God wants you to do. Do it as well as you possibly can, as faithfully as you possibly can, for as long as you can. Live the Bible, if you're a Christian. Live the Bible the best that you can. Live the way the good book says you should live. Treat others the way you know God wants you to treat them. Speak the truth of God's holy word. Do all these things the very best that you can. God will see to it that you accomplish everything He wants you to accomplish, and He will make sure that you are here for as long as He wants you to be. You know, it's always too early to quit. It's never too late to start, but it's always too early to quit. Verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So you know what city that's talking about, Jerusalem. And they of the peoples and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not permit their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. So they're turning, the people of the world are going to turn it into a holiday. The death of these two preachers of God's word. And therein, my friend, is why Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. And this is why I've said it so many times. If you're a faithful preacher of the Holy Word of God and you're giving it out the way you should, you're not going to have the accolades of presidents and distinguished people and Hollywood and you name it. You're not going to be Mr. Popular. If you proclaim the word of God, I'm sorry, you're just not. Not if you're proclaiming it clearly. You're going to be rubbing too many people the wrong. These very same people, because they're lost and they're on their way to hell and they haven't repented. You're not going to be popular with those people if you proclaim the word of God clearly. That's why when these two guys are dead, and their mouths are finally shut, they're not proclaiming the word of God, the people of the world celebrate. They don't celebrate. They were not celebrating these two guys when they were proclaiming the word of God, because they were proclaiming the word of God, and it made them feel uncomfortable. Do you see that? it shouldn't be that hard for us to figure out. I figured it out, and I'm not that smart, because I can read and I know what God has said in his word so clearly, and it's illustrated here very clearly. The people of the world rejoice and celebrate because they finally don't have to listen to the word of God. Hear this. Anyone who hates the Bible that much is a hell-bound sinner. The word of God makes hell-bound sinners sick. It makes them angry. It makes them squirm. And so they shut it, and they never open it again. Or, today, they will walk out of that church, and they'll walk away from the faithful minister, and never return. And they'll go down the street where their ears are tickled and where they're entertained and where the pastor is a shirt untucked, torn jeaned person who is a cross between a game show host and maybe a comedian, a stand-up comedian and a game show host. And they'll just think they're just the coolest thing, and that's the coolest church. Oh yeah, yeah, no doubt. Satan thinks it's cool too. But the pure word of God will make that same person sick and angry, and they'll walk out and they'll squirm. Back when I pastored church, and I haven't changed my teaching, not one bit, as far as giving out the straight word of God, I've seen guys squirm so much that I swore they're going to take the varnish off the chairs. They were so uncomfortable. I can still see it. I can still see their faces. So they leave, and they go find a different place that's more comfortable, that's more entertaining, and they feel good, and they feel happy, and they feel relieved. Oh, boy, I can breathe again. But the relief they feel, the happiness they feel, will be replaced with torment times infinity when they get to the lake of fire for rejecting the Savior and for refusing to repent at the hearing of God's word. You say, well, how do you know these people are rejecting the Savior? Because anyone who loves Jesus loves his word. Anyone who loves Jesus loves his word when it is given out straight. When I get people write me and they tell me, thank you for your ministry, thank you for teaching the word of God, thank you for giving out the word of God clearly, I appreciate it so much. You know, people saying things like that, I know they love Jesus. Anyone who has repented and received Christ into their life wants to be fed the word of God so that they can grow closer to the Lord. They want to know if they're doing anything wrong. They crave the word of God. So the Bible teaches they crave. They'll crave the word of God like a baby craves milk. That's how I know if somebody is saved or unsaved. Or that gives a good indication. Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, look at this, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them who saw them. Well, I suppose it did. They just finished a three-day celebration, a three-day holiday, because these two guys are dead, and all of a sudden they come back from the dead over 3 days after they died. Their bodies started rotting. The stench was terrible. Their bodies had become soft and started to ooze. And the stench was pathetic. And life came back into their bodies. And so the world's rejoicing was turned into fear after only 3 short days. For this illustrates the fact that the happiness of Christ rejecting sinners is only for a season. It is very short-lived and is followed by terror, like it was here. If these ungodly sinners had convinced themselves that God was on their side, if they somehow managed to convince themselves that their sins were justifiable, and these two preachers who made them so uncomfortable with their sermons were actually wrong, were bad, if they had convinced themselves that God was on their side, if their sin-darkened, confused, reprobate minds caused them to believe that lie, the masquerade ends when God raised these two fellows from the dead. The Bible reveals, and only the Bible reveals, if we are on God's side or not. And it comes down to this. Those who reject the Word of God are not on God's side. Those who reject Jesus Christ, those who refuse to do what God commands, repent of your sin, turn away from your evil, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, make a commitment to follow Him. Those who refuse the Word of God are not on God's side. No exceptions, no excuses. Verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. They didn't do any more preaching. God just raised them from the dead and took them right up to heaven, body, soul, and spirit, proving to anyone with a half a brain that God approved of them, which means God didn't approve of you, the rest of you, the crowd. So the enemies of righteousness, the enemies of the Bible, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be eyewitnesses of God blessing those that they hated because they proclaimed and lived the Word of God. The wicked will see, and they will tremble, like the soldiers guarding the Lord's tomb trembled when he was raised from the dead, when the angel appeared and rolled away the stone to show that the tomb was empty. Remember those tough Roman soldiers trembling like a bunch of scared puppies? The world will tremble in the presence of God when they see God's faithful remnant blessed. They'll know that they were on the wrong side. They tremble because they know they have lost. And they tremble because they know that it's too late to change sides. It is too late. The moment one dies, it's too late. The second Jesus returns, it's too late. But what is a more likely scenario for most who are listening to my voice right now? Once you die, it's too late to change sides. And you could die at any second. You know that. You just block it out of your mind. I don't care how old you are. 13. And the same hour was there a earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. God flexes his muscle by sending a powerful earthquake. Some sinners died. 7,000 of them died on the spot, and apparently some were scared out of hell and repented. You see, I don't think you should use scare tactics, Moret. I don't think you should be so plain in your speaking about the Word of God because it scares people. I don't think you should do that. I don't think that's right. Well, I do. Hey, look, Jesus talked more about hell than I do. Every seventh verse, if you have a red letter Bible, the red letters refer to the words of Jesus when he was on earth, and on average, every seventh verse, in other words, every seventh verse that Jesus is speaking while he's on earth refers to hell, judgment, condemnation of sin in one form or another. That's a whole lot more than me. People say, do you believe in hell, Moret? How can you believe in hell? Well, I believe whatever Jesus believed. And he sure talked about it an awful lot. So he believed in scaring people. It's not scare tactics. It's not even about scaring people for the sake of scaring people. It's not like a horror movie where you're trying to scare someone for entertainment or something like that. It's just the truth. And if the truth scares you, if the reality of hell scares you, then it should scare you because you're not right with God. And if you die, that's where you are going and you're never getting out. Be grateful that it scares you. It scared these people, many of them, and they repented. Scared them right out of hell. I pray for a lot of people every single day that they'll be scared out of hell, scared from going to hell by repenting. Many, many people are on a merry road to hell because they've never been confronted in a powerful way by the reality of God and the guiltiness of their sin. When God's word is declared without compromise, then people are confronted in a powerful way concerning the reality of God, the reality of Jesus, the reality of hell, the reality of their own guilt. But the word of God has to be proclaimed in a clear way or it's not going to happen. It is better to be scared into heaven than slumbered into hell. And that's why I proclaim the word of God as clearly as I can. It's just, you're not very loving, Moret. Are you kidding me? I'm the most loving person in the world. I'm one of the most loving preachers in the world because I talk about God's wrath and judgment and hell for everyone who rejects Christ. I proclaim the truth. That's as loving as anybody can be. The person who tells you that you're comfortable in your sin and you ought to be comfortable in your sin and don't worry about it and paints their rainbow flags over their church entrance door to appeal to homosexuals and any other sinner that might come in, you think they're loving? They're of the devil. They hate your guts. They don't care about you. They'll see you in hell before they tell you the truth. Loving my eye. Verse 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So, as bad as it has been for sinners who refuse to repent, according to God's word, it's only going to get worse. We'll see that next time. Join me next time. We'll pick it up in verse 15. In the meantime, continue studying the Word of God with me at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which again is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And remember, all you have to do is bring your Bible. Everything else is there. Bring your Bible and a hunger for God's Word. Click on the Bible book that you want to study. First, click on the series because there's three complete series going through the Bible. Click on the series. Goes back over 30 years of my archives. Click on the series. Click on the Bible book. Click on the chapter. Open your Bible. Follow along and listen just like you did today. Nothing has changed. I've always proclaimed the Word of God as clearly and straightforwardly as I possibly can. And if you appreciate that, in this world of compromise, even among preachers and so-called churches, if you appreciate the straightforward teaching of God's Word and you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be. You can join me by praying for me, praying for the Word of God, and realizing that I am not underwritten by a large church or denomination. I depend on faithful people who love Jesus and love His Word. So if you want to be a part of this ministry, click on the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. We'll get out the Word of God together. What do you say? I'll see you next time right here. Until then, so long, everyone.